You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it's Eva, and I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you are listening for the first time, welcome. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to my voice on. Also, take a few extra seconds to rate, comment, all that great stuff is greatly appreciated. But without further ado, we're going to get right into this episode. We are discussing one of my favorite teen young adult shows, and that is Netflix 13 Reasons Why. If you have listened to any of my other 13 Reasons Why episodes, then you know I generally usually have a lot to say, and this season is no different. You guys, I have a lot to say. I have so many notes, and you guys know I told you guys for like those bingeable shows, I have to take notes for each episode, and I'm good at like keeping the notes pretty succinct, like 2 to 3 lines. No, every episode was like 10 lines, 12 lines. It was so many notes, but don't worry, never fret. Per usual, I have my condensed notes of everything that I want to talk about. And you guys, we're about to get into this. Now, usually we go into a season of 13 Reasons Why, at least a discussion of a season of 13 Reasons Why, talking about all of the controversy surrounding that season. And this season, honestly, if I wanted to be nitpicky, I could pull out some things that I think could be controversial. But I mean, when you put it next to other teen young adult shows, we have the same things happening here that we have happening in those other shows as far as what happened in this season. Now, as far as what's happened in previous seasons, again, this season we have our cast who show up before the first episode. I'm not sure if they show up before any of the other episodes because I have it set for just the next episode to play automatically. So I usually skip the intro, but we have the cast in the beginning of the first episode giving a warning, pretty much saying we are going to talk about some real shit. If you feel like you're going to be triggered by this, then this is probably a show that you should not watch. Also, do not watch the show alone, specifically young people or people dealing with similar issues. And you guys know, I'm not going to hark too much on it because I've talked about it in depth in my discussions on season 1 and season 2 about how I feel about these types of shows and the fact that parents should be watching these types of shows with their kids. And knowing what their kids are watching and not trying to blame a TV show for what could possibly happen in actual real life because they should be monitoring that. But I'm not going to get on that soapbox today. And we're going to leave it at that. But we got that cast warning pre-show. And then post-show, we got like a text with a voiceover from a different actor each time, pretty much directing them to 13reasonswhy.info if they need to seek any type of help. But yeah, so that's, they continue that from season 2. They also, we have another update from season 1. Now, you guys know when I talked about season 1, how I felt about the scene for Hannah's suicide. I know I am most likely of the minority who felt that way about her suicide scene. It is very graphic. It's pretty much like you're watching, if this was in real life, you would pretty much be watching her essentially commit the suicide. Like, they show her cutting her wrists and everything. So it was a lot of backlash about that, about them showing that and depicting that and it being very triggering and all this other stuff. So finally, right before season 3, this happened in like June or July, they took that scene out of season 1. So that scene is no longer there. So yeah, I mean, at this point, because I've waited a few seasons to watch things before watching it. So, I mean, you could be one of those people, but I feel like majority of people have up to this point watched at least season 1, possibly season 2. So at this point, a lot of people have seen that scene. And I don't personally, you guys can come for me if you want. I don't personally think that they need to remove the scene, but whatever. Just whatever, do what you're gonna do, Netflix. But yes, let's talk about season 3 because I am ready to get into this. Okay, so you guys know, because I kind of did this, so I went back and I listened to my episode on season two, just to kind of hear what I had to say back then compared to what I'm going to say now. And I kind of, season two was like, because you guys know, I'm like, we don't need another season. We can end this like here. And also 13 Reasons Why, each episode was a reason. So it's always been 13 episodes and we go into season three with 13 episodes. Do I think we could have shortened it a little bit? I mean, we could have had we moved some things around, but I always feel that way. I think we could have did 10 episodes and we would have been fine because this wasn't the same format as a season one. And even season two, when they kind of try to keep the same format with the Polaroids and all that. But this one, we did get some focuses on the individual characters a little bit, but it was spoken from a different point of view. And so let's talk about this, because I think this was the one thing that frustrated me about season three, and it frustrated me immediately. So we start off season three with a voice. I mean, the first episode of season three was entitled, "Yeah, I'm the New Girl," I believe. Let me double check that. Yeah, I'm the New Girl. And so it was narrated by our new girl, Ani, who has a name that I'm not even going to try to announce because I know I am going to butcher it like nobody's business. But this new girl, she ends up coming to Liberty High because her mom ends up working for Bryce Walker's family because his grandfather is pretty much at the stage of what you would be similar to like a hospice situation, meaning he's going to die soon and he needs a lot of like assistance. And so her mom comes on as a house nurse for the Walker family, and they live in the Walker family's house. So that's how we get this new character, Ani. So going into this, she starts narrating automatically. I'm irritated by what is going on with this narration. I'm like, okay, please don't, like, it's fine if we wanted this season to have like a different character narrate each episode. Like, I'm all for that. You guys know, the one thing I loved about season two was that we got to learn so much more about the other characters. So I was all for that. So I was like, okay, she could have episode one as long as that's all she gets. But no, Ani narrates the entire season. And I was not, usually I'm of the minority when discussing the show, but I am in the majority this time of people who was just not feeling Ani as our narrator this season. I think when you go into season three, I mean, I can see what they could be trying to do. I think they were trying to do quite a few things with having Ani be the narrator. But for me, as a fan of the show, like a genuine fan of the show and someone who loves the show, loves watching the show, love all the characters in the show, and just what and like how they have been developing over the seasons. And then knowing that we're going into this and this season, like, we're flipping the script, is no longer like, well, we do still have a lot of sad high school-y teenage things happening, but it's more so like it's a murder mystery. But all that to say, introducing this new character and having her be kind of the focus of this season, three seasons deep, and she didn't really need to be, I think is what I would say was my biggest issue with having Ani be the narrator this season. She came and she inserted herself into a lot of business and a lot of situations that she genuinely had no involvement with previously. Like, she's the new girl. What new girl or new kid, because it doesn't even have to be girl, new girl, new guy, whatever. What new kid just shows up and like inserts themselves into the biggest of big drama within a school? And then like does it in a way where it's just like, I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but I have a real big issue with pathological liars. Like, humongous issue. And Ani is a pathological liar. And especially as the season progresses, because this season we have a whole murder mystery going on, because we immediately start by finding out that Bryce first is missing, and then they finally find Bryce's body. So which then it turns into a homicide investigation. So Bryce has been murdered by someone and they're trying to figure out who did it. So then we find out throughout the season that, of course, you put two kids under the same roof, some feelings are probably going to come about. So of course that ends up happening between Ani and Bryce. And so this is why Ani has a strong, or this is why they're trying to prove to us why Ani has a strong investment in this, because she cared about Bryce and she wants to know who his murderer is and wants to make sure that the murderer is brought to justice. But I mean, when we get to the end, it's kind of like, not really what happens, but so we have that whole thing happening. But then she's also like, she befriends Clay, and you guys know, of all the kids on this show, and I genuinely like all the kids for the most part, the only ones who I think, well, a duh, who's like a no, is Bryce, but and Monty. But as far as like our main kids, I genuinely like them all. But you guys know, if you've listened to me talk about the Two Reasons Why, Clay, Tyler especially, like Tyler just has a special, special space in my heart. Clay, of course, has a special place in my heart. Even though he got on my nerves last season, this season he kind of came full circle, and we're going to get into Clay in a minute. But like, those two especially are kind of like up there. And so the fact that she came in, befriends Clay, and is kind of like playing double agent with a lot of people, not just Clay. She's doing it with Justin because, you know, and we're going to talk about Justin and Clay and the Jensen family in a hot second too. But she does it with Justin. She does it with Jess, like how she befriends Jess. And she just like inserts herself into the situation, but she's kind of playing a double agent, if you will. And so her reasons for doing this are not pure, and so, or are not legit. They're kind of selfish. No, they are selfish. So I think that's why it's hard to care about her, because we don't really know who she is. And in learning about who she is throughout this season, you only, at least for me, speaking for myself only, I grew to not like her even more. So by the time we end the season, I just don't like her as a character, and I'm okay when I see her in the next season. But you have that, and then you don't like her, you don't trust her, you don't understand why this deep in the game we needed to have this completely new character inserted into these situations. So I'm gonna tell you why I think that they did it. Because I feel like they were trying to do a few things. One, I think they were trying to humanize Bryce a little bit. They needed a character who essentially was removed from everything that's happened in the past couple of seasons to try to make his character more empathetic. Like, we feel empathy for him. They tried. I can honestly say they tried, but I just could not feel it for Bryce. Because Bryce, even when you could see him, like, even when you could see him trying to be, there was still this underlying current of just disgustingness with him. And even that whole scene between him and Alex when they broke into their random house, who he thought was his father's house, and he like threatened the kid and made the kid pee on himself. It's like, no, this is someone who I honestly don't think can change. And this comes up throughout the season of if someone who's done something horrible could essentially change. So if someone who's a rapist and who's predatory, could they essentially change? I don't really think so. I mean, I feel like it's kind of like a drug. And we're going to talk about drugs soon too, because we're going to talk about Justin. We got a lot to talk about, guys. But it's kind of like a drug where it's like it's in your system. So yeah, it can lay dormant for a while, but all it takes is just that one thing to trigger it. And then we're back at where we were from square one. So I think that's one of the reasons why they introduced this new character, because she is removed from everything that's happened in the past two seasons. Like, she has no personal connection to Hannah. She's grown and created a relationship with Jess, but she kind of has, she's even said it, like, she's a liar. Her mom says she's a liar. So it's hard to really believe that she really has true feelings for anyone, because you don't know if you trust anything that she's saying. I think another reason why they added her as a new character is because, like Clay in the first season, where he's kind of the person who's trying to figure out what's going on with these tapes, we needed someone who could kind of be everywhere. And it's kind of like they try to make her like this omnipresent person. And so therefore, she found herself in a lot of situations that the kids that we already know probably would not have found themselves in. So she gets to be in the Walker's house. She gets to be around Clay and kind of inserts herself in the circle of friends in these weird different ways and not really having anyone question why she's around or why she's in certain places. So I think that's another reason why they had her had to introduce this new character. All in all, she was not my favorite character. She irritated me. And sometimes, you know, where some characters will grow on you, and there have been characters who I have not liked at the start and they've kind of grown on me, but this is a character who just never grew on me and I did not like her throughout to the end. So that's Ani. I feel like I can go on and on and on about Ani, but we're just going to leave it at that and we're going to move right along because I told you guys, we have a lot to get through. So notably missing this season, Sherry and Ryan. I was like, what happened to them? Because especially Sherry, they had very integral roles in especially the last season. Then all of a sudden we don't even get a glimpse, a snapshot, anything. It's just like, what happened to them? So they're notably missing from this season as well. I just want to point that out. So let's start talking about some of our kids, some of the ones who we love, who we know. So we have this group of kids who are forever bonded by something that took place in the first season, which is Hannah's suicide and the whole tape situation, and then going through her trial last season. So they are forever bonded in a way that I don't think most kids would be bonded by. And I think I mentioned this when talking about the second season, where like they've kind of created this friendship and it's like these people you never thought would be friends and now they're friends and they are strong and passionate about their friendship. Like even everything that's unfolding throughout the season, like they have their whole group text thing going on and then we have the whole thing with Tyler. So last season we left off with Tyler showing up at the spring dance ready to just shoot the place up. Clay intercepts him with Justin and Jess, and then Tony and Clay take Tyler away as we see like the police are coming. So this is kind of like a big underlying thing of this season because they essentially got away with it. They made it where it essentially ends up being where the police thought it was a false alarm. So no one knows that Tyler, except for our core kids, no one knows that Tyler showed up at the school with these guns ready to kill a bunch of people. And they honestly don't really know what's going on with Tyler. I mean, there are signs that something is going on with Tyler because, like, he doesn't want anyone to touch him. And he's like, there has to be something that makes you want to show up and kill a bunch of people. And your whole mission is for your own self to die. So clearly there's something going on. And I will say the whole thing with Tyler, I love that they all, like, surrounded Tyler and like try to protect them and try to insert themselves on a daily basis. We kind of see like Clay headed this because Clay is a very protective, loving friend, especially after everything that's happened with Hannah. And he's like very serious about making sure no one else is gonna like hurt themselves or anyone else. A lot of them actually are really good about checking in on each other and be like, if they see signs, like how Alex towards the end when they find out that Alex asked Tyler for his gun and they're like, are you okay? You wanted to hurt yourself? Like they're really good about checking in with each other and being accountable for each other. The one thing I will say, and I say this a lot in a lot of young adult teen shows, is that they needed to have adults involved in this. I do appreciate that Tony and Clay were like, even though they didn't tell their parents, they were like, Tyler, you have to go see the school counselor, Miss Singh or whatever, who I said last season, I thought she was a very good, counselor compared to Mr. Porter, because we know what happened when Mr. Porter was the counselor in the whole Hannah situation. So compared to Mr. Porter, season one Mr. Porter, because season two Mr. Porter, he came back and tried to redeem himself. Then he showed up again season three. When Mr. Porter showed up this season, I was like, what? Why is Mr. Porter here? And then it's just the thing, find out all that was going on with him and Bryce and Bryce's mom. I mean, I think that whole Hannah thing really woke him up, and it's good to see that he actually really cares about trying to make sure these kids kind of like are able to have a fulfilled life. But I just think it was so funny. Like, he just showed up randomly. I was like, okay. But then he was the only one to call out that something was seriously going on with Tyler more than anyone knows. And it's something dealing with trauma. And so he was the one who was able to bring that to light, which leads, I don't want to talk about Tyler right now, because when I talk about Tyler, I just get so emotional. And it's so hard to talk about him without getting emotional. So we're gonna pause on Tyler, and we're gonna keep on going. So let's talk about Clay, and let's talk about Justin, because we see this season that the Jensens are trying to officially adopt Justin. Justin and Clay have moved into kind of like, I guess this like garage setup that they converted into their like living space. So, which I'm like, I know I've said that Clay's parents, of all the parents, are probably a little bit more involved, but I feel like they kind of play both sides where they're involved, but then are not really involved. And after all this stuff that has happened over the last couple of years, the fact that they were just like, okay, let's put you in your own space, but like even outside of the house, was like, probably shouldn't have done it. Even knowing that Justin struggled with drugs and addiction and all of that. So, I mean, I thought that was kind of weird, but I really loved Justin and Clay's relationship. Like, they genuinely felt like brothers throughout this entire thing. And just to see the love, like, to see where they were in season one, Justin and Clay, like, their relationship non-existent. And then you kind of see that relationship develop in season two when Clay is helping Justin get through or get off of... What do you call it when like you try to break the addiction or get off of the drugs or detox? Oh my gosh. When we see Clay trying to help Justin detox, and then to get to season three and just to see like this brotherly relationship and his, how the Jensen family has just integrated Justin into the family. Knowing where Justin has come from, like with his mom and his whole living situation, and he was homeless and all that other stuff, to now just like, oh my gosh. But then to learn that Justin is still doing drugs, but then even to see it come full circle at the end and see how when he was like at Thanksgiving, mind you, like, oh, I'm still doing drugs and I'm still addicted or whatever. And the Jensen parents weren't like, oh, you have to leave, you're kicked out. They were like, no, we're going to help you with this. Like, oh my gosh, I just love this little family. They're so cute. And I really, really loved Clay and Justin's relationship. Like, the fact that they could just be like, I love you, man. I love you, man. Like, to each other and, like, genuinely mean, like, I love you. Like, oh my gosh. It was, I loved every aspect of it. And then Clay just has grown so much. I mean, Clay has kind of always been, he's always been a very emotional person since season one. I don't think that's changed, but I think it has grown in a way where his emotional capacity and the way that he reacts to things in season one versus season two versus season three has 100% grown. Because the way that Clay was, as you guys know, I talked about how crazy Clay got last season, where I was like, oh my gosh, he's getting on my nerves. And then to see how he's come full circle, like even when Tyler eventually tells him what happened to him and him not being like, oh, you have to go tell the police, right? Like essentially out of him, kind of like how he did just in season two. But him being like, not being like, oh, you have to go tell them so that I don't get, because like by the end of this, towards the end of this season, like the pressure's on Clay and he's already been arrested and they're like, you're numero uno suspect. And so just seeing how that all played out, him not pressuring Tyler to go tell what was going on with him, and then also just seeing how much he supported his friends, and even when he confronted him and Ani, see, I've already forgotten about her. Just see how him and Ani, like when they were confronting each one of the friends, but like they were still able to foster that relationship and keep that relationship. And I'm just like, Clay, you have grown so much in the span of these years, and just to see how much he supports and genuinely loves every single one of his friends is just so apparent and jumps off the screen. So I'm like, Clay, oh my gosh, you are so good. Like, compared to season two, like, full circle. So, yeah. So let's talk about Justin and Jess, because that whole thing was weird. So we know, like, she was raped by Bryce, and Justin and Alex, because the whole reason why Alex ends up shooting himself, because he finally remembers why he shot himself, was because he could have stopped Hannah from being raped, but he didn't like get up and question what Monty said to him. But Justin could have stopped Jess from being raped, but he didn't stand up to Bryce. And so it's kind of like this whole thing that they've been struggling with. At this point, I'm just like, y'all just need to let it go. I think you guys are okay with being friends or whatever, even though they do end on a high note. And I thought it was super cute, that whole like last sequence. I know I'm jumping around, but that whole last sequence when Tyler like has his little mini art gallery at the cafe, and then Justin and Clay are sitting on the couch, and like Justin's like so happy, he's like, yeah, I just want to sit this moment, whatever. And then Clay is like his like monotone like one-liners. I thought that was so cute and funny. I love that little couch scene. It was only like 45 seconds, but like I love that whole couch scene. He's like, oh, this couch is so comfortable, whatever. And then Clay's like, so comfortable. It was so cute. But anyway, so I mean, I guess they kind of ended on a high note, but I mean, you guys know we have one more season of 13 Reasons Why, and I'm gonna get to it, but I have a lot of questions surrounding what a season 4 looks like, and I'm going to get to that. But like at this moment, like they're kind of like at a good place, I guess. But I think that relationship is going to be one that they continue to try to be together. It's going to be one that they are going to consistently or constantly have struggles and issues with, because like trauma is trauma. And sometimes it can be anything that can like trigger that experience. But I will say Jess, her character, I think she's had one of the strongest developments throughout this entire series, just to see where she started, like this cheerleader, was a follower, I think. She went through this situation. It took a lot for her to get to the point to stand up and like tell her story. And then now to see her in season 3, like leading the charge at Liberty High, creating the whole hands-off community of survivors, and then to see her whole speech towards the end when she like helped, was like, there are people among you don't even know who they are, and they are survivors, and you are going to recognize this, and you're going to realize that this is not okay, like for people to put their hands on anyone regardless of gender and sex and all that stuff, and had like led the charge for them all standing up and saying like, I'm a survivor. I was like, oh my gosh, you go, Jessica. So I really loved her development this season. Zach was kind of one who's kind of in background, which we find out because we have to talk about how Bryce died. You guys know I love me a good mystery, but I was like, I was leaning towards it being Monty, or I had a few predictions. Monty for sure was always my number one. I also think that I said Ani because she is a pathological liar, so who knows what could have happened. Something could have happened and then she could have like went and killed him or whatever, and just was going around and making it seem like she was trying to figure out who the real killer was, when all along the killer was her. So she was one of them. When we finally see that Zach, because Zach was acting weird all season, especially surrounding Tyler, like he was the one who called the police at the spring fling. He was the one who thought that they should have turned him in. And then he tried to blame the whole Bryce's murder on Tyler. I mean, I feel like every time they were like the focus shift to one of them, everyone was like, well, do you really think that they could do it? And it was like kind of like they just didn't know who they were. But a lot of them, like Justin, Jess, and then even when we find out who the killers are and who knew. And then just if you go back and replay a lot of what happened this season, it's like, seriously, you were ready to let your friend take the fall for this, and you knew, or you were the one who committed it? Like, oh my gosh. But yeah, so Zach was always weird. But when we finally get to the point where he's like, he goes to go turn himself in to Sheriff Sandal, and he's like, yeah, I'm the one who killed Bryce before they even showed us what happened. I was like, I don't think he killed him. I was like, he probably beat his ass and like left him there. But like, Zach is not someone who's gonna kill him. But when they show Zach beating Bryce up, oh my gosh. Zach, I mean, he damn near should have killed him, because when you see him like stomp on his leg and like beat his face. I was like, oh my gosh, all this repressed anger. But Zach kind of, if you think about Zach, every season he's kind of always been chasing after a girl who never necessarily really initially wanted him. They kind of try to make this case for Clay during this season. But if you think about it, Zach wholeheartedly is kind of like that. And then we found out about the secret relationship between him and Hannah. And then you see him chasing after Chloe, who was with Bryce this season. And so then it's kind of like he had has this repressed. And then he kind of has to live after, be the captain after Bryce leaves. And so everyone was kind of following Bryce. And then there's this resistance in following him, especially for Monty and the core crew who was with Bryce. So you kind of see him kind of playing second to Bryce all the time. So to get up to the point where we see that he like beat Bryce to a pulp, like seriously to a pulp, to the point like Bryce could not move at all. He broke his, like, he didn't even break his leg. He, I don't even know if there's a word to describe what, he did to his leg. Essentially, that leg was dangling. Like, oh my gosh. But I mean, if you think about what Bryce, because it kind of all culminates to Zach's anger, because you see Bryce, who, like I said, that's why I feel like Bryce is just not a redemptive person. Because even when all this is happening, and even when he's like, oh, Ani makes me a new person, and like, I feel like I can be better when I'm with her. But as soon as he sees Zach talking to Chloe, who was not even with him, and he finds out that he helped her, was there for her when she went to have her abortion, it's like, Bryce, seriously, you really think you would have made a good father, or that you would have even did any of the things that anyone else would have did for someone in that sort of a situation? No. So the fact that he got angry about that just shows how much he has not changed up to that point. And so the fact that he tried to take his anger out on Zach by breaking his, or trying to break his leg or ruin his leg or whatever, which I believe essentially was broken, but just to see him run to his leg like that, I was like, oh my gosh. So for all that to happen, for Zach always playing second fiddle to Bryce in multiple ways, and then having that happen to him, I was like, okay, I'm not surprised. But then the fact that Zach tried to, like, Zach and also Jess and also Alice, because essentially we find out how Bryce actually died. Yeah, Zach beat his ass, and Zach went to the police station and turned himself into everything. They were just like, oh, it's okay. I mean, you just beat him up. You didn't actually kill him. I was like, but he beat him up, like, hardcore. But anyway, so Zach beat him up. He left him there pretty much to, like, fend for himself. Threw his phone in the water. Everything was like, you try to figure this out now, and left him there helpless. But then, because Bryce wanted to give Jess a letter that he had wrote to her, or a tape that he had recorded for her, because he finally listened to the tapes. He had never listened to the tapes, because if you remember in season one, he was tape 12 and they skipped him, or I think they gave it to Clay last, and they skipped Bryce because they were scared that the tapes weren't going to get to everyone or whatever. And so he never actually listened to the tapes. Even when they were uploaded online, he never listened to the tapes. So he finally listened to the tapes. And he finally felt like he had some type of an understanding, or whatever he thought to justify in his head. And so he made this tape for Jess, and he wanted to give it to her. So after the homecoming game, because all this surrounds the homecoming game, which I'm like, I just want to know what the hell happened at the homecoming game. We finally don't find out till like the final episode. But all this is surrounding that. And so, of course, she calls Justin because she wanted Justin to go there with her. But of course, Justin's getting high. I think had Justin went with Jess to meet Bryce, then we probably would not have had what we had. But Alice has been very emotional. And we see, like, I mean, he tried to shoot himself. We saw him dealing with that. And then this whole, we find out he was taking steroids, all that stuff. He's always had, like, body issues. And the thing I can say about 13 Reasons Why, which I say all the time, is that they really do illuminate a lot of teen-focused issues, sexual abuse on both sides for both genders, body image issues, bullying, like a wealth of different issues, drug use, sex, and there was a lot of sex this season. Oh my gosh. I said if there was one thing that I could be nitpicky about that I thought that people were going to have issues with, I thought it was going to be like the depiction of sex throughout this entire season, because it was so much. I mean, we've seen it before, but like this was like, It was a lot of sex happening to the point that I made a note about it. And usually I don't make notes about like the sex that happens in the show. I was just like, oh my gosh, a lot of sex happening. But that is one thing I can say about 13 Reasons Why, which is why I think it's like a really solid depiction of things that could happen in school settings, even though, I mean, it's still drama, it's still fake. So it was like times 10,000, but still. And so we see him. So Alex ends up going with Jess, and he's the one. At first, he tried to help Bryce, but then, of course, Bryce started running his mouth, and Bryce like flipped the switch super quick, like blaming Jess, like, you are the one you made. You tried to set me up. You had Zach come here and do this to me, blah, blah, blah. And then Alex was just like, you know what? I'm done with you ruining everyone's lives, and pushed him into the water. And of course, like, Bryce's leg is broke. He's been pummeled to nothingness. So of course he can't swim. And he's yelling he can't swim. So he ends up drowning. But so that's who ended up killing Bryce. But it was a whole cover up, because a whole narration of Ani, who I keep forgetting about, is her talking to Sheriff Stando, who is Alex's father, and telling her all the things that she knows and why she's the one who can tell him how Bryce died. I was just like, I just feel like we're going around in circles, and essentially you don't really know anything. But they find out that Alex is the one who killed him. And so, of course, she goes and talks to him. And then they end up covering up to the fullest, to the point where his daddy is involved, up there burning evidence. They done put the blame on Monty. So we're going to talk about Monty, because Monty has also been a struggle character for me, he's like Bryce Jr. Super bad attitude. He's the one who attacked Tyler, led the attack on Tyler in season 2. And he's the one who actually raped Tyler by putting the broomstick in him. So I know Tyler's hard for me to talk about Tyler. Oh my gosh. I'm not even talking about Tyler. So why am I doing this? Oh my gosh. So he's the one who did that. And so we kind of see, like, throughout the season, we learned that he's closeted. He's actually gay. And so that explains him being homophobic, whatever. It's like where they always go for the person who's homophobic in high school, and like the bully ends up being the one who's actually gay. And so we kind of see him hook up with this Winston guy who goes to Hillsdale. Why does that not sound like the right school? But he goes to school with Bryce. So he ends up hooking up with him at this party that they had. But then when Winston tries to say bye to him, he ends up beating the shit out of him. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you have serious issues. Then we kind of find out a little bit about his home life, that his father is very abusive or whatever, which still does not justify how disgusting of a person Monty is. And so we do find out that Monty does have an actual alibi. Even though he tried to lie and say he was at one of the football players' houses, we find out that he was actually with Winston, and like they slept together and all the other stuff. So he had nothing to do with Bryce. But he ends up, because Tyler, and we're going to talk about Tyler. I know I keep saying we're going to talk about Tyler, but I kind of like need to be able to like talk about Tyler without freaking getting emotional. But we're going to talk about Tyler. So Tyler ends up giving a report to the police and pretty much reporting that Monty raped him. And so Monty gets arrested, and Monty ends up dying in jail from being beaten to death. And so essentially, they pretty much have the perfect fall guy, because they are able to use another new character who was kind of played a sideline back type of a role. We kind of saw him throughout. We saw him in the working with Jess at the movie theater. We saw him, I thought I wrote his name down, but I cannot find his name at the moment. But he's the blonde-headed one. He was there when Monty confessed to Bryce. When Bryce confronted Monty, Monty confessed to what he did to Tyler. And then he was the one that was being used as an alibi for Monty, which wasn't true. So because Monty is there, they're like, well, he doesn't really have an alibi. He's essentially a good fall guy. This is post everything, because when Ani's at the jail station. They have no idea that Monty is dead, but essentially this is why I think they actually go through with it, is because he is dead. But Winston shows up at the end like, no. Like, y'all not, I know you guys lied. I'm his alibi. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, so we have that going on with Monty. Who have I not talked about? Okay, I know, I keep saying, who have I not talked about? I've talked about their overall friendship, how much I love them. I've talked about Monty just being a disgusting asshole and end up dying. I've talked about Bryce. I mean, I think one of the things that has been a question with Bryce is that Bryce, justice was never served. And if, I know one of the questions that I had going to season three was what we were going to focus on. Would the focus be on Bryce? Because it's kind of been a Bryce-centric story in a way, because he's been involved in everything that's happened leading up to now. And I mean, it was. We focused on Bryce because it was his murder. And I mean, in a way, you can say justice was served, because he does end up dying, even though it wasn't served in the legal way. It was served in a more personal vendetta type of a way. If you want to say that, we can just leave it there. But yeah, so I talked about the overall friendships. I talked about Zach. I talked about Alice. I talked about Jess. Justin and his drugs. I talked about that. I talked about Clay and Justin's relationship and the Jensens. Yeah, so Tyler's love. I mean, I was trying to put it up. We're going to talk about Tyler. So you guys know, Tyler just... it's hard for me to talk about Tyler, I think, because... he just, it's just a situation that I think happens a lot in real life. And it doesn't even have to be exactly how it happens to Tyler, but there are many stories of kids being bullied and essentially leading either to them committing suicide or them harming other people. But at the end of the day, it ends up them harming something because of what's been done to them. And just the way, like, Tyler, yeah, he... did things, like, he got his own tape in season one. But he was like the weird kid, and we all know. I mean, when I went to school, we had the weird kids that were kind of weird, you know, questionable. They did weird things. We kind of just let them do whatever. You didn't really like do anything to them, but he was kind of like that kid. And to see what happened to him in season two, which led to what happened at the end of season two, and then to kind of see how everyone rallied around him this season and just tried to make sure he's okay, and knowing that he was struggling with this and wasn't really talking to anyone about this. So when we get to the scene when after Clay talks to Mr. Porter, and Mr. Porter's like, something traumatic has happened to him. I don't know what it is, but like, watch him. And you see Clay go talk to Tyler, and Tyler like finally tell his story. And just that whole scene, I think that was one of my favorite scenes of this season, because even how Clay reacted to that story, to Tyler telling his story, was even like, oh my gosh. He's like, I want to hug you. Can I hug you? Like, he asked, can he hug you? And Tyler's like, yes, you can hug me. And I think that's the first time we've seen Tyler like have physical interaction with anyone at all this entire season. I was just like, oh my gosh. And then him, and then Clay being like, I really think that, because we've kind of seen Tyler be a part of the hands-off group, but he was functioning under the line that he was an ally because he hadn't told anyone what had happened to him. But then Clay like being like, yeah, I think you should also talk to Jessica, because she knows what you're going through, because she's is also a survivor of rape. You should also talk to Dr. Singh, because like, she's a therapist and she's an adult and she'll be able to help you through this. Like, just Clay's response to that, I think, was so good. And then to see him tell his story to Jess and how she received that, and then even at the end when we get to Jess' whole big speech, and we see, because Clay's like now on the run because he's like trying to get out of town because he's like, they're close in on me. I don't know what Clay thought he was, what he thought he was doing or where he thought he was going to go, but he was trying to get up out of the city and trying to get smuggled into Mexico with Tony. I didn't even talk about Tony. Oh my gosh, I got to go back and talk about Tony. But but we saw that whole thing. And then when he's like, Ty's like, oh, I just really need my friend. And the fact that Clay could zero in on that And even though his whole own livelihood was being jeopardized, he went to the school to support his friend. And to see Tyler stand up and say, I'm a survivor. And then to help another guy stand up and say, I'm a survivor. I was just like, oh my gosh, Tyler, you have grown so much in this one season. Like, so good. I was just like, tears all over that survivor scene, him telling Clay. It was just like all of the tears. Oh my gosh. And just to see how he ended this season, it's just like, and even when Alex came and asked him for the gun and the fact that he went and told Clay that, and like, he's like wanting to protect his friends. Like, he has these friends that he didn't have, and that he knows he has those friends, and he knows that he can go and talk to Clay and tell him anything. And Clay's like, you know, you could tell me anything. I was just like, oh my gosh, you guys, I cannot. I still will say there should have been an adult involved with the whole, just from like a mental standpoint, because I think an adult needs to be involved with everything that happened with Tyler, especially them trying to be the ones to fix the whole gun thing. But all of the heart eyes and heart emojis for Tyler, 100%. Tony went through a lot this season. I think Tony is probably the most mature of all of them, and I often forget that Tony is in the same grade as them, because he's just a very self-sufficient teenager. But we got to see some of the ICE, kind of like what's happening in real life with ICE and immigration, all that take place in this show. So we find out that thanks to Justin's family, or not Justin, oh my gosh, thanks to Bryce's family. Bryce's family just had a hand in bringing down a lot of families and relationships. But thanks to his father, his family was deported back to Mexico. So Tony and Tony's younger sister are the only two who are actually born in America. His older brothers and his parents, of course, were not, because they didn't come to America until 1999. So we've based on what happened in the trial in season two, they were able to get Bryce's family, or lawyers got background information on all of the kids. And so that's how they found out that his family was illegal. And so we see Tony dealing with that whole thing. And so it kind of plays into, because everyone at some point is a suspect. Even when I was writing down my notes, I was like, okay, I need to write down who is the main suspect we are like interrogating for each episode. So like for Tony's episode, that's what we found out, is that Bryce ends up buying his car from him, because Tony is essentially selling everything to pay for lawyer fees. And then once Bryce finds out that his father had a hand in getting his family deported, of course Bryce is trying to like give him more. And then that's when we find out like Tony is the one, he went to Tony to hear the tapes or whatever, and Tony listens to tapes with him, so all that stuff. So I mean, Bryce had his moments of trying to be human, but I mean, I still just was not buying it all the way up to the end. So yeah, what else is there to talk about? I mean, I think that overall, that's like the main things I want to talk about over this season. I really did enjoy this season. You guys know I love me a good mystery. I think the one thing that was the biggest negative for me was the introduction of Ani and making Ani be the main voice of this season, because I just did not care about Ani, and I never got to the point where I cared about Ani. So I think for me, that was the biggest miss of the season. I think the thing that I loved the most of this season was just how much the kids' relationships have developed and grown leading up to season three and throughout season three. It just, I don't know, they just have like a really close bond, and all the way up to the end, even when we got to the final scene where Tyler, it's just the growth of Tyler, just how much he's grown, and to see him smiling, and you're like, why is he taking these pictures? What is he doing with these pictures? But when he goes through all the pictures and he shows, I can't remember who he was showing the pictures to. I want to say he was showing them to Alex, or maybe he was showing it to Justin. I can't remember who he's showing the pictures to. But like when he's going through those pictures and saying like he even knows to change himself. Like the earlier pictures, he's very like angry and sad looking. And then the more recent pictures, you start to see like hints of a smile on his face. So I just love the growth and development of the kids this season, and just their bond together wholeheartedly. But let's talk about season four, you guys. I feel like my 13 Reasons Why episodes are always so long because I always have so much to say. And I always feel like I still have more to say even after I'm done. But let's talk about season four. So we already know 13 Reasons Why was already renewed for a fourth and final season. There is no date on when that will come, but we're going to assume that it's going to be around this time next year because that's kind of been how like season one came out around this time 2 years or 2 years ago. Then season two came out around this time last year. And then we have season three. And so we're going to assume season four is going to come out around the same time as well. So what does season four look like? Do we need a season four? You guys know what my answer is going to be. I don't think we need a season four. I mean, I think there are some very minor loose ends, but enough for 13 episodes. I don't know. I mean, how we ended this season, it honestly could have been a series finale. It ended on a happy note. We had everyone, for the most part, in a good place. And it was just a happy scene with them all at Tyler's little mini gallery showing or whatever it will, with him showing all the pictures that he's taken of all the people who have helped him get to where he is. Oh my gosh, I'm getting emotional again. Who have helped him get to where he is. And it was just like a very loving ending to it. And then we like see Winston show up and be like, but wait a minute, put a fork in your happiness. And then we have like Ani like saying that she and Clay are dating. Don't know if she's lying or telling the truth because you never know with that girl. But Clay, run, do not date her. Leave her alone. Just don't do it. There are other girls. I'm highly sure there are other girls that you can find other than her. But I think some of the things that we do have. So, of course, because we have Winston as Monty's alibi, is he going to bring to light that Monty was with him to clear Monty's name? So will all of the lies catch up to our young teens? I will say, when I saw the trailer for season three, I was like, this is giving me hard PLL vibes, as in Pretty Little Liars vibes. But I mean, how it shaped up is, it was some things that kind of were like, oh, this is a little PLL-y, but like it was still very much 13 Reasons Why. But now, as I'm saying, do their lies catch up to them? I'm thinking Pretty Little Liars. So we have that. That's kind of hanging in the balance. We know that that Tony and Clay dumped the bag of guns that Tyler had in the river, which we see a fisherman pull from the water at the end. So what's going to happen with these guns? Is there going to be an investigation? Because still at this point, that whole thing that happened at the spring dance, it still was a false alarm. So no one outside of our core crew knows what happened with Tyler. And then, of course, Alex's dad knows because Ani told him. And then we have possibly, we could talk about what's going on with these guns. We could possibly talk about the whole Monty thing and if Winston's going to come out and tell the truth, because if he does, there are going to be a lot of complications because it was a lot of cover up to close the case on that one. But I will say, if that's the route we go, I cannot do another season of The Courtroom because you guys know how I feel about courtroom seasons and how I felt about being in a courtroom last season. So hopefully that's not what we're going to do for season four. We also just know, we learned that Monty was beat to death, and I feel like they were pretty like vague and covered it very quickly. They were like, oh, he was killed in the cell, like he's beaten and killed in the cell, and that was kind of like it. So it makes me feel like, so is there going to be more going on with Monty in next season? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's going to involve the second semester of the kids' senior year, because this whole season covered the first half of senior year because we saw them go all the way up through to Thanksgiving. So that's all I have to say. I want to know what you guys have to say about this season. I feel like I have talked a lot. I could probably still talk for a little bit longer, but I'm going to leave it at this. I want to know what you guys thought about season three. What were your favorite moments of season three? What did you absolutely hate about this season? Let me know. You can let me know by commenting on the Instagram post related to this episode, or you can shoot me a tweet. But either way, I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram at Currently Binging and on Twitter at Current Binge.